I'm on my way to the bag. Welcome to the third edition of What Would You Do? NBA Offseason Edition. The New Orleans Pelicans. What a season the New Orleans Pelicans had. I mean, you're talking about they got the number one overall pick. They drafted Zion Williamson, the number one prospect out of Duke University. And he didn't make his debut until later in the season. I believe it was around December, January, when they played the San Antonio Spurs is when Zion made his debut. And he was electric in his limited amount of minutes. But he had a lot of knee problems. He had a knee problem in college, a knee problem in the NBA. They kind of load managed him. And the Pelicans, they qualified for a bubble spot. They were 30-42, yet they qualified for the bubble. And it didn't seem like the Pelicans really wanted to be there. They lacked a lot of effort, didn't really put any work in, and they did not qualify for the playoffs. As a result of that, Alvin Gentry lost his job. He was fired from the New Orleans Pelicans. And the new head coach that they brought in to replace Alvin Gentry is Stan Van Gundy. Many of you guys know he is the brother of the NBA broadcaster Jeff Van Gundy, who was once a former coach in the NBA. His most famous 10 years were with the New York Knicks in the 90s when he pulled the Knicks as an 8 seed to the NBA Finals in 1999. That is, in fact, I believe, an NBA stat. The only 8 seed ever to make it to the NBA Finals was Jeff Van Gundy's New York Knicks team. And he also had his famous tenure with the Houston Rockets back in the day when they had Tracy McGrady and Yao Ming. Now, the other Van Gundy, which we'll discuss Stan Van Gundy, before he got his job in New Orleans, he started off his career as a head coach in Miami, coached there for about 3 years, got fired, but he got fired in the year Miami won the title in 06. He then took that, went to the Orlando Magic, took a prime Dwight Howard to the NBA Finals in 2009, and consistently made the playoffs. He then gets fired from Orlando and goes to Detroit. He was a head coach for Detroit. They consistently made the playoffs. But the one thing that was different and kind of tarnished his name was he was also the basketball operations player, the man who runs the front office, and he did not do a good job up there in Detroit. As we look at the kind of bad situation that they are at the moment, you could parlay that into Stan Van Gundy's decision in the front office, but he's now the head coach of the New Orleans Pelicans. And I kind of want to go to you, Caleb. You heard the news that Stan Van Gundy was going to be the head coach for the New Orleans Pelicans. What was the first reaction that popped up in your head?
I don't know. I'm excited to see how he runs his system, how it ranks with the new era of basketball. You know, he has a certain way, he's always coached, you know, dominant big men. You can see that with Drummond and Dwight and even Shaq in 06. Yeah, although he had, you know, probably the best guard in the league at the time with Dwayne Wade that year. But I think, you know, I'm excited to see how he runs the team. So that was my reaction. I just wanted to see how he would run the team. I think they had a pretty solid hiring. That would be a question I would ask about what would you do if you could hire your own quarterback for the Pelicans, what would you do?
When I first heard the news that Stan Van Gundy was going to be the head coach for the New Orleans Pelicans, I was honestly I was surprised a little bit. I mean, you look at Stan Van Gundy, he was out of the league head coaching wise, I believe, for two years. And as many of you guys know, for those of you that tune in, you think of Stan Van Gundy, he's like, isn't that same guy that we heard during the NBA playoffs broadcasting? Yes. Stan Van Gundy originally was a broadcaster before he got this head coaching job. And, you know, I'm kind of excited what he brings to the table. I was skeptical at first because of how bad he did with Detroit, but
if that was Jeff Van Gundy that coached Drummond. Am I right?
Jeff Van Gundy coached Tracy McGrady and Yao Ming with the early 2000s Houston Rockets. Okay. Stan Van Gundy, he was the guy who coached Andre Drummond and the Detroit Pistons. But at first, kind of like I was saying, I was skeptical at first because I saw his tenure in Detroit. I was like, yo, that does not look good. But I delved into more research and I kind of realized he was more of a basketball operations guy in Detroit, which he was not good at. But as a head coach, that dude was a legit head coach. I mean, I stated earlier where, you know, in Miami, even though he was a short tenured coach in Miami from 04 to 06, he took Miami to the Eastern Conference Finals. I believe in 05, he took them to that Eastern Conference Finals to verse against that Detroit Pistons team that would end up losing to the Spurs in seven games that year. But he knows how to win as a head coach. And, you know, that's saying a lot of things. Even though he got fired in 06, the year that he won the championship, you know, Pat Riley was the head coach at the time. He still had some great success, even in Orlando, even though he was only there from 2007 then to 2012, you know, about 6 years. It was probably the best six-year run the Orlando Magic had in their franchise history since the 1990s when they had Shaquille O'Neal and Penny Hardaway, you know, during that time period. And it's very exciting to see what Stan Van Gundy is able to do with this New Orleans Pelicans squad, a young squad. And the main thing I think everybody's going to look at is how is Stan Van Gundy going to coach Zion Williamson? Obviously, we've seen the young guys that he's coached, and even sort of big men related. He had Shaquille O'Neal when he was in Miami. Obviously, you know, you didn't really need a coach Shaq because at the time he was probably the best center in the league. But when he had Dwight Howard, he molded Dwight Howard into the best center in the league, like prime Dwight Howard.
Right.
Three straight defensive player of the year award winners. Took the 09 Orlando Magic with just Dwight Howard and a bunch of shooters to the NBA Finals. Nobody thought Orlando was going to make it to the finals. They didn't think that they could beat the Celtics. Granted, the Celtics did not have Kevin Garnett that year in 09, which played a huge role. But when they played that Cleveland Cavaliers squad in 2009 in the Eastern Conference Finals, I think everybody thought it was going to be, this is our LeBron versus Kobe finals. This is going to be LeBron versus Kobe in 09. And Stan Van Gundy coached so well, Dwight Howard played so tremendous that they were able to upset the Cavaliers and they made it to the NBA Finals. Granted, they did not win because obviously, you know, Kobe Bryant was on a mission that year in 09, especially, you know, after he lost to the Celtics in 08. You knew, you know, that Mamba mentality, he was going to get revenge. You know, he eventually did in 2010, but that 09 season, there was no stopping Kobe Bryant. And, you know, you just have to give kudos to Orlando for getting there at the time. And even after that finals appearance in 09, Orlando was still a consistent playoff team with Stan Van Gundy's final 3 years in Orlando. So I'm just excited to see what he's able to do with Zion Williamson. And here are the – I'm going to name off a couple of Pelicans players who are under contract this year. So these are players who are still a part of the team next year. And I just kind of want to hear your thoughts on it, Caleb. So the players under contract so far for the New Orleans Pelicans, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, Drew Holiday, J.J. Redick, Nicolo Melli, Darius Miller, Zion Williamson, Jackson Hayes. Those are the players under contract, and they're free agents. We have Frank Jackson, who's a restricted free agent. Etuan Moore is a unrestricted free agent. Kenrick Williams is a restricted free agent. Derek Favors is an unrestricted free agent. Brandon Ingram is a restricted free agent. And Jahlil Okafor is an unrestricted free agent. So before I get into what free agents to kind of delve into. I want to hear your thoughts. What do you believe Stan Van Gundy is going to bring to the table for the New Orleans Pelicans?
Well, I feel like I've already answered that question. I don't really know what he's going to bring to the table. I think it's all about just seeing what he's going to run. I mean, he has the pieces with his picks coming up. He has the pieces to run, to get them in the playoffs. So, I don't know. That question is hard for me to answer. We just have to see what he does with what he has. He has a lot, and he could possibly have even more. I honestly thought they should have went with a young coach like Ty Lue. But, you know, Van Gundy is still solid. With the free agents, I think they might let most of those guys walk, or, you know, keep those guys again, run it back one more year, and then free up that money and try to even take a stab at Giannis if they can.
That's
depending on their cap space. But I mean, who knows how they want to build their team? Like I said, they have a solid team right now with a lot of dudes on the team that have like mid contracts, and I mean, I'm not saying the mid-level contracts, but like, you know, not max, but like mid-range, you know, 8 to 12, 13 million. So it's really what are they going to do with those guys? What direction do they want to go? Who are they trying to target in free agency? And that leads to the next question. What would you do? Like, what targets are you trying to get in free agency this year? Being all those guys on contract, who are the significant players that the Pelicans, you know, must resign? Derek Favors, if they want to, but I think they let him walk on a momentarium and go see their options. And if anything, they could always have him on the back burner, vice versa. So, with that being said, Who are you attacking with free agents? Are you attacking a few of the Pelicans this summer?
If I'm the New Orleans Pelicans, I'm bringing back Brandon Ingram ASAP. Brandon Ingram, as we all know, he won the award for the most improved player in the NBA. And I think him and Zion Williamson have the potential to be a future dominant duo in the NBA. And you know, I mean, we look at out of all the free agents that I named, the main one is going to be Brandon Ingram. Like, they have to bring him back. And he's a restricted free agent. So what that basically means is if another team offers Brandon Ingram a contract, the Pelicans can either match that or let him walk to that team. I think the Pelicans are going to match any offer that Brandon Ingram is going to be given. Even if it's the max, I think they're going to offer the deal, because it's kind of, who else do you have as a free agent? I mean, the only other good free agent I would say you could maybe bring back is Derek Favors. Other than that, I think you could let every single one of them walk. I personally believe you could let Julius Okafor walk, because it's kind of like, what has he done for New Orleans? Like, he really didn't make that big of an impact. It was pretty much Jackson Hayes that took over Okafor's minutes. And I also personally want to see if Stan Van Gundy is going to start Jackson Hayes, whether he attacks, whether he uses that offseason, because obviously, you know, the Pelicans are going to try and bring back Brandon Ingram. That's a fact, because he was a huge integral part of that Anthony Davis trade that they orchestrated last year. And in my opinion, it's a win-win for both sides. You look at the Lakers, they obviously got their main man to go up with LeBron James, and what happens? They win the NBA championship. And you look at, if you're the New Orleans Pelicans, you get Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, the fourth pick, which eventually you traded, but you have first-round talent. And Brandon Ingram has turned into a star right before our very eyes. And, you know, I'm excited to see what the New Orleans Pelicans as a whole are able to do. Cause I think they're one of those teams where, maybe not this year, but in 2-3 years, they could be a scary force in the Western Conference, which then kind of leads in to my next question to you, Caleb. How many years do you think it will take for the Pelicans to be a legit team in the Western Conference? Do you think they'll shock everybody and compete this year? Or do you think it'll be a process, maybe next two, maybe 3 years, when Zion gets into his full prime with Ingram and company?
I think it'll be a process. That's what I think. It'll be a process. They won't, you know, immediately compete for a championship this year, but it will be a process. They will have this will be the time they go through their growth pains. This will be the year of measure. This is what I call it, the year of measure, because, you know, they got to make a big decision on Lonzo. You know, is he going to be the guard for the future for them, or are they going to draft another point guard at 13? With this draft, there are a lot of guards, so I could see him getting away with the guard at 13, but they got to make that decision. They got Drew Holiday. They got to make that decision. So, I mean, David Griffin still has a lot of leverage. Like, as far as even trade targets, you can still pull off a big trade and get somebody there. I mean, it's nothing to call the Warriors and offer that 13th pick, Drew Holiday, and maybe get Jordan Poole and Kevon Looney back and try to go get LaMelo, because I think LaMelo is the guy out of this draft. I mean, maybe teaming him up with his brother might be, I don't know, might be a little sketchy, but I think LaMelo is the guy out of this draft. I think LaMelo is the golden ticket that everybody needs to try to cash in on.
That is definitely an interesting take. I like the route that you went there. My honest opinion is, I think if I'm the New Orleans Pelicans with Stan Van Gundy, I might just simply run this team back of last year. I mean, you look at Zion was plagued with injuries. Obviously, the pandemic went on, and you know the bubble was created. If I'm the Pelicans, I might just give this team another run at it and kind of run it back and simply kind of see what happens. Because in my opinion, I truly believe that the New Orleans Pelicans have a chance to be like the Memphis Grizzlies were this year. A team where everybody thought, you trade your main piece, Anthony Davis, you know, you're going to fail, you're going to tank. But then, you know, they kind of shocked the NBA and were competing. And, you know, if it weren't for the Memphis Grizzlies losing the final game in the bubble to the Portland Trailblazers, they could have very well got into the playoffs against the LA Lakers. And I think the Pelicans have a potential to be that kind of team where they're not going to have all the headlines. They're not going to be a team where everybody thinks can make the playoffs, but can shock everybody and kind of get in as that 8 or 7 seed. Now, do I think they make a playoff run this year? No. But then again, they have assets to do that. They have guys like Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Alonzo Ball, and Josh Hart, even a Drew Holiday, where if, like you mentioned, Caleb, if they wanted to make a trade, go up and get that number 2 overall pick from Golden State and say, you know what, give me LaMelo Ball, get the number 2 overall pick and kind of go from there. Or if you want to use your 13th pick and young players, you can maybe look at a guy that kind of wants out. Like I would shoot my shot at Zach LaVine. I mean, I know it's bold, but I would call Chicago, and I'd be honest with them. I was like, hey, Chicago, are you a team that can compete in the what in the East this year? No. So why have Zach LaVine when you could give him the 13th pick, Drew Holiday, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, hell, even Lonzo Ball you could throw into that list and get Zach LaVine, and then you could use your 13th pick, draft the best point guard available from that spot, you know, at number 13, and kind of go from there, because then you would have your main point guard. You would have Zach LaVine. You would have Brandon Ingram signed long-term, Zion Williamson, Jackson Hayes with Stan Van Gundy as a coach. I think that's a playoff team. Now, the Western Conference is a loaded conference. I don't think they could get top 5, but a 6th through 8th seed range?
Yeah, and I think that's why I mentioned earlier, like, this is their time of growth pains, you know what I'm saying? They're going to go through, you know, some tough losses. And this is the time of the decision. Like, they do you want to stick with that young core? Do you want to stick with that young core? Or do you want to win now with Zion and B.I.? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, they have the assets to do either. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I always hear this on First Take, mostly from, you pretty much know who the guy is, Max Kellerman. He basically said when the Pelicans drafted Zion Williamson that the clock is ticking. Whenever you're a small market team, Max Kellerman always says, you got 7 years to bring a championship. The Pelicans failed with Anthony Davis in his 7 years, and he went to a big market in Los Angeles. His first year there, he wins a championship. And I kind of agree with that, because you look at first year with Zion, obviously, you know, he was hurt, things didn't really go well, but year two, it's kind of, you now got 6 years to try and win Zion a championship or be competitive right, and have a chance to win a championship. Because, and even the same scenario with Giannis in Milwaukee, whenever we talk about the Milwaukee Bucks in the near future in this edition, it's kind of one of those where the Pelicans are on the clock with Zion Williamson, because Zion Williamson has a chance to be a once in a generation type of player, something we've never seen. Obviously, you know, injuries kind of hindered his rookie season, but we saw the emergence of John Morant and how good he was. But Zion, he is a big name ticket. I can't wait to see what the Pelicans are able to do. I also kind of want to see what David Griffin, how is he going to approach it? I mean, Caleb, you and I have mentioned cases where they could maybe be aggressive. You even mentioned they could be aggressive, trade up for the number two overall pick and select LaMelo Ball. I've stated that they could be aggressive and get Zach LaVine. Or if you're David Griffin, you might just simply say, you know what? I want to run this team back with David Griffin, with Stan Van Gundy, use my draft picks, use my 13th pick, 39, 42nd, and 60th pick, select the players I want, and simply take the season on and see what happens. And if we're in a place where, you know, we're too young and rebuilding, the veterans that we have on our team, Jrue Holiday, J.J. Redick, I'll just simply trade them and just simply get younger assets, reload. And I know you mentioned, why not go after Giannis? And I have the same thing. Why not go after Giannis? If you have the cap space to go after Giannis Antetokounmpo, you got to throw your hat in there, because you could also say the same thing for Milwaukee, that the Bucks and Giannis are on the clock, especially with how much of an embarrassing finish they had this season, being ousted by the Heat in the second round in 5 games, even though you had the best record in the NBA and were projected to be favorites to win the NBA championship. So you look at the Bucks are ticking on the clock with Giannis Antetokounmpo, because he could leave after this season. He could even be traded partway into this upcoming season if the Bucks aren't doing too hot. So it'll be interesting to see what happens here, what kind of approach New Orleans does go with, whether it is being aggressive or being conservative.
Because that's really what matters, you know, if they want to be aggressive or conservative. They have the pieces to win now. If you get a couple players, even Bradley Beal makes sense. They have the assets to really pursue Bradley Beal. So it really depends. And if I'm them, I'm going to build with these young dudes, because that's dynasty talk. So if they can build with these young dudes and just hit a lot of the right draft picks and they hit, you know, get the cap space to tie these dudes together for a long time, that chemistry is going to build, that camaraderie is going to build, they're going to build a culture down there. It's going to be a small market, small market where people want to go to, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Then it's almost kind of like Toronto. They got the bright culture. They got the right young guys that bought in, and somebody's going to want to go there. I wouldn't be surprised if DeMar DeRozan were back. It would be cool to see DeMar DeRozan go back too.
Yeah, and we look at New Orleans as a fun city to go to. You know, they got Bourbon Street, they got Mardi Gras, they got a lot of good things down there in New Orleans. And I know, Caleb, you mentioned them being aggressive and going after LaMelo Ball with the number two overall pick. I would agree the same thing as well if they go aggressive. But if they stay conservative, if they stay at the 13th pick, Caleb, if you're the New Orleans Pelicans, who would you select with the 13th overall pick if you stayed at 13?
Man, it just depends on who's there. I mean, if I'm them, I'm probably going to most likely going to go with another guard. Maybe like Devin Vassell if he's there. Tyrese Halbert, I don't know if he'll be there. Cole Anthony for sure if he's there.
Would you take a chance on RJ Hampton?
RJ Hampton if he's there at 13? Yeah. Depends on how good he is and the best available. But if he was there, yeah, I would for sure go get a guard though. For sure.
All right, that's definitely an interesting take. And if they're at 13, I personally agree with you as well. I think they should go after a guard, whether that is being Tyrese Maxey out of Kentucky, whether it be a shooting guard, whether it's RJ Hampton, a point guard, or Cole Anthony. I think those are all good options. And that kind of takes into my next question. Since we both agree that if they stayed at 13, they would take a guard. If you're the Pelicans, would that mean you trade Lonzo Ball or Drew Holiday? If you make that selection at the point guard, it obviously means you might have to move on from one of those players. If you're the New Orleans Pelicans, do you move on from the veteran in Drew Holiday, or do you move on from Lonzo Ball?
To get that number two pick?
No. I'm saying if you selected pick number 13, you take a point guard or a shooting guard. After the draft, you would trade either Lonzo Ball or Drew Holiday. Who would you choose to trade between those two and why?
I would choose to trade neither. I'm keeping the young guard just totally to develop. I mean, the young guard that I draft, he's probably a guy that won't expect some significant minutes. He might or might not get significant minutes, but I'm not trading neither. But if I did have to trade, I would go trade Drew or Alonzo, but I think they can hold off. I think if they trade Drew, it has to be an aggressive move. It has to be an aggressive move. And they have to be sure with Lonzo. Because if they're not sure with Lonzo, they might as well trade him, keep Drew, and build with that.
My personal opinion between the two, I would simply keep Drew Holiday. If they take a point guard or a shooting guard, I'm keeping Holiday and I'm trading Lonzo Ball. Just for the sole fact that Lonzo really hasn't panned out. I mean, he's shown some bright flashes. He's shown some great moments. But he hasn't been consistent. And I think what you do in this draft, you take that guard and you still keep Drew Holiday because of veteran leadership. Drew Holiday, in my opinion, obviously we know Zion Williamson is the face of the franchise, but it kind of reminds me of the Toronto situation. Like, we obviously know Kawhi Leonard was the best player on the Toronto Raptors, but Kyle Lowry, he was that dog. He was that veteran leader of that Toronto Raptors team. He's been through the thick and thin with Toronto. That's the same situation with the Pelicans. Drew Holiday is that veteran guy who's been through thick and thin. Even when they moved on from Anthony Davis, they still kept Drew Holiday to be with this organization. And now with Zion, obviously everybody knows Zion Williamson is the franchise. He is the New Orleans Pelicans. He is going to be the franchise star. But Drew Holiday, mm-hmm. he's that veteran leader that makes the ship go. And I think if I'm the Pelicans, I pick my point guard at 13. And if I have to choose between either Lonzo Ball or Drew Holiday, it is definitely going to be Drew Holiday just because he's going to be that veteran leader on this Pelican squad. If I want to make the playoffs, Drew Holiday is going to be the difference maker. So that's my humble opinion. And you obviously have a good case too. If they simply want to keep both of them, I think they could keep them both as well. But that could be an if scenario that David Griffin could be in, to where he's like, you know, I got four guards. I got Lonzo, I got Josh, I got Drew Holiday, and I got this guy that I just drafted. So it'll be interesting to see who they go from there. And I also kind of want to throw this out. If they take a small forward in the NBA draft with a 13th pick, do you think it will be a smart decision for them to do that, even though Brandon Ingram is going to be a restricted free agent?
Yeah, because they'll need another 3-and-D guy. You know, they're probably gonna get a 3-and-D guy to play three. You know, like a Drake Jay Crowder type of dude. You know, somebody similar to Drake Crowder, Andre Iguodala maybe, but I mean a younger guy like that. But no, I don't think it doesn't worry BI. He has that locked up, sewed up. That's his for sure.
All right,
How do
definitely.
you feel? What do you think? What do you? I don't see no threat post to.
Yeah, I don't see any threats posed as well. I think if they select the small forward in the draft, I just simply think that's just going to be helpful for their bench. Let's move on to. I want to hit up the final two topics of this edition of the episode. The main free agent. Brandon Ingram, he's a restricted free agent. And I'll simply ask you this question, Caleb. Do you bring the house for Brandon Ingram? Do you offer him the max you can offer? Or do you simply wait and see what other teams offer him and then match that?
What I'm doing, I'm probably going to wait, see what other teams offer him, and match that. What would you do?
What I would do, I would offer him the max. I wouldn't let any other teams give him a chance. I would be the first one to offer him up, especially because he just won the most improved player. He's going to get better. And I personally believe I would be the first one to offer him. It's like, here's the contract. I'll offer you the max and we'll get it going. So that's personally how I feel by that. And you know, maybe just maybe you could listen to this because if other teams offer cheaper deals, you might want to take the cheaper deal and save the cap space. But if no one is stepping up, then I might as well just offer that.
Yeah,
B,
that's what I'm
offer him
doing.
that first contracting and kind of go from there.
Exactly. I mean, that's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea. It's not. I wouldn't disagree with it too much. It's not a bad idea. Nah, I couldn't fight that. I couldn't fight that just because you don't want no other team to touch him. I mean, you gotta hold him hostage at one point because you very well can lose him. You know, so I can't fight that at all. I think that's a good point.
And to close out this edition of What Would You Do NBA Offseason, New Orleans Pelicans edition, do you believe the New Orleans Pelicans really have a legit chance to make the playoffs this year with Stan Van Gundy and company?
I do. I do. I think they have a chance to make that 8th spot. They can get it done. They may be able to get it done. It just all depends on how the chips fall. You know, things happen in an NBA season, so it all depends. It all depends. I think they can get it done. And like I said, this will be the year that they go through the growing pains. So they'll definitely be in a position of, we got to make a play or we got to make something happen for sure.
I personally think they could make the playoffs. I truly believe with a fully healthy Zion Williamson, with Brandon Ingram coming back on a Supermax deal, they bring back the same core. You still got JJ Redick, who's a solid shooter. You still got Jrue Holiday. You got Stan Van Gundy, who's been there and done that as a head coach. I mean, look at his track record. I'll even state it again. He took the Orlando Magic in 2009 to the NBA Finals with just Dwight Howard and a bunch of shooters.
Right.
And there were a lot of veterans on their team. This New Orleans Pelicans team, they got a bunch of young guys and they have a mix of veteran players. Like it's not like, oh, you know, they have no name bench players. No, they got Jrue Holiday, who has been there and done that, who's been a workhorse with the Pelicans. They have a veteran named JJ Redick who knows his role. JJ Redick knows that he's a catch and shoot guy. He's been in the league for, I believe, what is this, his 15th or 16th year? Like he's been at it for a long time. He's developed a shot and he's worked with Stan Van Gundy before. He was a part of JJ Redick was a part of that 09 Orlando Magic roster that made it to the NBA Finals. So I mean, I love what the Pelicans have to offer. I love their well mix of veterans on the team as well with some youth, because if it comes to crunch time, I'm being honest. I'm putting in my veteran guys in there. I'm putting in JJ Redick in crunch time. I'm putting in Drew Holiday in that crunch time. I'm putting Zion. I'm putting Brandon Ingram in those crunch time moments. And hell, I know they have Jackson Hayes at center, but I might roll with Derek Favors. If they re-sign Derek Favors in the offseason, I'd bring him back. I'd have a whole on veteran onslaught, you know, just overall. And, you know, I hope the Pelicans don't disappoint. I will say one thing. If they fail again, if they underperform, I think David Griffin is going to pull off a trade to get a big name player, just because he's got a bunch of young players to do so. But I think the Pelicans are going to be one of those teams where they just roll with what they got. And if they love where they're situated at the trade deadline, if there's a superstar player that wants out of their team, they could be a name that's thrown in the hat. You know what I'm saying? I'll even throw you that question, Caleb. If the Pelicans are competing for a playoff spot at the trade deadline, should they go all in and get a big name player? Kind of like, for example, if you're competing for a playoff spot, you think if you get one name, you could make a deep run in the playoffs. Like, say, for example, if you traded for a guy like a Kawhi Leonard or an Anthony Davis, not during the offseason, but during the season, maybe if you go after a Bradley Beal or a Zach LaVine at the trade deadline, do you think the Pelicans should pull the trigger on that? Or do you think they should just ride with the team that they have? If they make the playoffs, great. If not, oh well.
No, I think this is a year they should grow with their growing pains. I think that if they explore trading for a big name player, they should do that in the offseason. Just because, you know, give the player – I mean, it's advantages to both the player and the organization. You never want to bring in too much of a big-time player in the middle of the season. Not to say it's a bad thing, but I think that they wait it out and trade for a big-time player in the offseason.
I agree with you on that as well. I personally think if I'm the Pelicans, I just simply stay put with my team. You know, if we make the playoffs, fantastic. That means we're progressing well as a team. Our young guys are doing well, and our veterans are doing their job. And if we simply don't make the playoffs, then you just simply say, oh, well, we go in the offseason, see what young guys best fit our roster, and go after 2021 free agency. Because 2021 free agency, there are some big names out there, like Giannis Antetokounmpo if he declines his player option or doesn't get extended. Kawhi Leonard if he declines. Paul George if he declines. Hell, even if LeBron James declines his player option, I believe he's a free agent after 2021 if he decides to decline his player option as well. So many names in the 2020 free agency class. You can make a case where New Orleans, yeah, they may be a small market team, but with the young assets that they have, they could be a team where they might make a run for a free agent that they like. And it'll be interesting to see what the Pelicans do this season. I think you and I both are excited to see what the Pelicans are able to do, see what Stan Van Gundy is able to do as a head coach, if he can still compete in the league overall, and if the Pelicans can be a relevant franchise in today's edition of the NBA. Let's see what they're able to do. And that, my friends, concludes today's edition of What Would You Do? NBA Offseason Edition, New Orleans Pelicans. Anything else you want to add, Caleb? You want to shout anything out for the followers?
You can find me on Instagram at 1 Caleb Conant, on Twitter at Caleb Conant 2, and my LinkedIn is in my bio. And you can find more things there. We out of here.
All right, all right. My Twitter is at Skura Matt. Give me a follow there. My Instagram is at Matt_Skura19. and simply give us a follow on even Unwrapped Sports Network as well. Give USN a follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you name it. We're all available there. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we out of here.